back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, as we're joined with Stan Deo, as we are each and every Tuesday in hour number three. Folks, go to standeo.com, and on the right-hand side, if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see a microphone next to show, and where it says show images. You click on show images and pull that up, and you can follow along with the research Dan has put together for this particular episode. And he does this each time he comes on, so make sure you bookmark standeo.com. Stan, it's great to have you back on the show.
Oh, I wondered where I was. Thank you. Just kidding.
Brother. Yeah. Well, how are you?
Probably one of those days when I should have stayed in bed. But anyway, you know how everything kind of gets crowded at the beginning of the week, Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yes. I'm right there with you. You know, I've had, you know, it's all right. Yeah, it's just one of those days. It's Monday and Tuesday. It's just been kind of a weird week. That's for sure. But I'm glad you're with us. It's now it feels like Tuesday, so we can rock.
Well, there you go. At least I'm serving some function, marking Tuesday on everyone's calendar.
You know, yeah,
we get a lot of good emails and stuff from folks that listen to the show.
Actually, we got several emails, and I think you were copied on a couple of them earlier this week with questions for you. I'm not sure if you were or not.
Don't think so, but
okay.
Anyway, not to worry. Hey, listen, have you guys looked at the website, you know, our news website that Holly puts up today?
Yes.
Did you look at the video of the day?
No, did not do that.
Stan, I got to tell you, I don't know what it is, but for some reason, and every time you come on, you remind me of the photo of the day and the video of the day, but for some reason, when I'm looking at your site, I'm looking at the news, and I just don't click that button. I got to get myself in the habit of doing that.
Yeah, and my
Well, you know,
apologies.
So many people that come to the site, though, they do click on those little orange things over the side, which is the comic of the day and the video of the day and stuff, and more so there than they do on the rest of the news. So you're swimming against the tide there, I guess. I don't know, but
well,
there's one video, the video that.
If I could stop you just for a second, though, I think you were in my family photo album. The photo of the day is actually my ex-wife's cousin. Never mind. I'm just kidding. No, that's a great. People are going to
say
that.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
well, look at the video of the day that Holly has up there when you get a chance. Right now, it's too long to look at. It's about an hour and 40 minutes long. But we listened to it together. And it's a copy of the John B. Wells show. And normally he puts it into a private archive and his members only can listen to it. But he put this out on YouTube because it was so important. Now, he published it on the 21st of this month, but it's called Could the CIA Be Sabotaging the Trump Cabinet, episode number 692, with former CIA, officer Kevin Shipp, Shipp. And the stuff in there, I mean, former CIA officer is a Christian fellow, and you can hear that later on in the interview with him, but he's putting, like, facts to the things we always, suspected about the government. And one of the things he's talking about was the war between the FBI and the CIA. And the CIA virtually has the country, by the throat at the moment. The FBI has called them down on a number of issues where the CIA is operating on the domestic soil where it's not licensed to do that by Congress. And it takes its own initiative to go and do things when it should be authorized by Congress to do these initiatives, overseas. And it's just, the things he relates there are, you're talking to a guy or listening to a guy that has, spent years and years in the agency and has been awarded all kinds of, honors by the agency for work in various operations and within the CIA itself. But you'll get satisfaction out of listening to him. Because it's not your average, person in our group that doesn't have the facts or the authority behind the argument they make. But he talks about the Illuminists and all kinds of stuff, mm-hmm. and the world government and Obama and main thing they're concentrating on is the concentrated war to bring Trump down because the Illuminists don't like him. And, you know, I said on this show, gosh, probably several years ago, and in between time as well, that I expect something rather interesting to happen when we get the disclosure of the quote-unquote alien presence here, that what's going to happen is they're going to come at a time when the Earth's in problems, you know, mankind is threatened with nuclear war, with famine, with, you know, weather catastrophes, and doing the famine with earthquakes, volcanoes, asteroid impacts, you know, the sun, everything. Well, we're getting very close to that point right now. And so what we're seeing, in my opinion, is the groundwork being laid, even by this CIA former officer, to say that the Illuminati need to be taken out. They're losing power, losing strength. They need to be removed. And I'm pretty sure that looking at the chessboard that Satan has set up for the planet, that one of the things he's going to do to put his man in place at the head of the world government is to destroy, punish, wipe out the Illuminati and their whole banking system. And, you know, I'm probably going to be at the head of the line saying, yippee, good riddance, you know. You globalists can go suck oranges or lemons or whatever, you know. But then I'm going to sit back and I'm going to say, oh, wait a minute. Now, that's part of removing these bad guys, doing us a favor by Satan's bad guys, you know, that are posing as nice guys coming to help us, you know, settle the planet and make peace and safety for everyone. So I'm just warning people, you're going to see the Illuminists, the banking system, that kind of stuff, get brought into line by the satanic invaders who will come as friends. And that's part of the great deception that Jesus warned about in Matthew.
Well, you talked about this in your book as well, or early on, at least at its periphery. And I just think that that's an amazing thing how you mentioned that, because we too will probably be in line saying, oh, good, this is great. And then, you know, right on the heels of that.
Yeah, and, you know, leading into that right now, one of the crisis curves we're seeing is the use of cash, large denomination cash, by criminal organizations to, you know, hide their income and their traffic and whatever from the governmental sources of whatever country they're in. India just recently, they changed over to digital cash in a lot of ways. Not really, but they've taken out the big rupee bills and stuff. Overnight, they just hit like 80% of the cash, the big dollar cash over there, and said it's no longer legal tender. Turn it in or lose it and go to the new system we're going to give you. And that was, you know, ostensibly to get rid of the criminal elements that prosper in the underground using, you know, large rupee notes or U.S. dollar notes as well to fund their operations. So people are going to be looking, you know, to see what happens. Now, Canada is one of the countries that is next on the list for these bankers to hit. They want to get rid of the large Canadian notes as well. The $100 U.S. note is going to go. In fact, we talked with a bank officer that we, a bank, you know, like president or what do you call them? What's the bank controller, you know, who's in charge of the bank, what are they called, our bank?
Branch manager,
yeah. In one of our banks, and we had a chat with them off, you know, off to the side, and they said that the $100 notes are definitely going to be phased out, so that, you know, if you've got $100 notes in the mattress or, you know, in your, you know, safe or whatever, that they're not going to be legal tender when they do this. And even the $50 note may be hit as well. And the equivalents in Canada and Australia. I'm just trying to remember what the other country was other than Canada. New Zealand, that's it. New Zealand and Canada are the two to be hit by the major bankers to drive us into digital currency. And not that we have a lot ourselves to worry about, but there are people who are, you know, not criminals that have stored emergency cash. And, of course, the tidiest way to do it's in these larger bills, because you can put it in a little pouch somewhere and hide it easily. But when it gets to U.S. and global economy is in stress. And certainly we can't blame it on the new administration. They're trying to repair the damage that the globalists, the, you know, the bankers that backed both Republican and Democratic Party candidates for decades now. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to set up things that Trump is trying to stop. And with Obama still working in the wings, they're trying to bring him down and organizing people. You know, I don't think we're going to last as long as we'd like to with this administration. I think that he's going to be so blocked or hampered that, you know, they may even try to impeach him for some stupid reason. I don't know, but
yeah, I think
we're
that's,
on the verge
you're right. Yeah, I think they're pushing for impeachment.
Oh, they are.
Or impairment under the 25th Amendment.
Yeah, and today even, yesterday, Pelosi said a case is being made in a very scientific and methodical way to impeach Trump. And what she's referring to is the one of the clauses, I forget what the name of it was, the him having some kind of corporate ties or still being the owner of, you know, his businesses and doing business overseas. I don't have the article in front of me, but obviously it's coming from Nancy Pelosi, so I would find another source. As she's just been breaking down left and right, mumbling, stuttering, not even being able to say Martin Luther King or other things properly. Don't know if it's alcohol or
otherwise
old
known
age.
As a Wednesday on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Yeah, but, I guess sometimes. But it's definitely, I mean, they want Trump out of there. And if they can't get him out of there, they want to cause as much chaos and division and stir up as much crap as they possibly can while he's in there. And if it's any indication what Congress is doing, which is absolutely nothing, just shows you, you know, we have a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and they haven't done anything since Trump has gotten into office. So will we see any movement there? I do agree, and you have Obama in the background. You know, I saw he just is making $60 million off his book deal, the most ever for any ex-president for memoirs or whatever. And he's behind the scenes working to stir up protests, and even Holder today came out and said that Obama's ready to come back in the public. Let me find the article here. It was on Politico.
Yeah, he looks rested, and oh my goodness.
And it's very strange. I've never seen a former president so active in a current president's administration, behind the scenes undermining him, openly undermining him. And continuing to do so.
I mean, you know, Obama only lives 2 miles from the White House in that rented house and stuff. They've turned it into a local fortress. But, you know, it's like he is not giving up. He's wanting to take the reins back by force, it looks like.
Eric Holder.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. But they're definitely up to something. And
well, Organizing for Action, Stan, and the umbrella group groups that go with that. And then, of course, the other thing, the former attorneys that were working with Obama now forming the group, and I did a video on it, the name escapes me, but just throwing everything they've got at Trump, $1.5 million budget, 5 people on staff right now. They expect to triple that here in the next couple of weeks. It's crazy.
Boy, this is revolution material, you know, you can see it coming.
Did you hear, Stan, what George W. Bush had said about President Donald Trump in that interview that he gave? The question,
you know,
was,
I watched that, and some of that was taken out of context.
Okay, because the question, what I saw, the question was about the media,
yeah,
declaring the media the enemy of the people, and he said, no, free and independent media is key, and I understand that, but it just seemed like he was in. There was an indictment of President Trump by Bush. I don't know.
Yeah, there was something that George W. did I read about today, and I forget. I was going to say something about it, too. But, you know, all these former presidents and stuff that are alive, I mean, they're all supporting what's, you know, going against Trump. It's definitely telling you that we have this shadow government in force still. And they're very angry that they lost control by, you know, not getting Hillary in. You know, oh, there's just so many things.
If we can, kind of switching gears here, before I forget, because we haven't really got into this with any of our guests yet, and while we're talking about Obama and the Trump administration, I see on your guys' letter today about the what's going on with the Jewish threats in this country. We saw a cemetery desecrated in Philadelphia, all these different bomb threats to different Jewish schools and synagogues. I mean, just an absurd amount for the short time period it's in. Do you know what's going on with this, or why this is happening now? Or
would venture a guess? I'm starting to get emails from people that don't even know, telling me, are you aware that there are two types of Jews, you know, the real ones and then the fake ones, and that 80% of the world's Jews are the Ashkenazi fake ones that came from the Khazars. And, you know, I write back to these people and say, yeah, I'm aware of that, but, you know, it's something that I don't push a lot because people that aren't educated won't know how to tell the difference between a Sephardi and an Ashkenazi Jew, you know, a real one and a fake one. Jesus did warn us about it. He did say that the synagogue of Satan, you know, beware, that's coming. And these are people that claim to be Jewish but are not really. And they are going to be blamed with a lot of things that they're certainly guilty of, you know, in the banking community and various other things. But sadly, it's going to rub off on the Sephardi, the real, you know, house of Israel that's spread all over the planet. Maybe half of them are in Israel, but they're not in control of Israel. Most of the stuff over there is being handled by, you know, Ashkenazi. And, maybe that's why the cemeteries are being desecrated, because we're seeing a rise of anti-Semitism again, more anti-Jew rather than anti-Semite, because the Arabs are Semites as well. But it's laying the groundwork for a global Nazi-type thing to persecute the Jews. And you can see, we've got problems forming in the Middle East around Israel, where the surrounding countries want to destroy them, and they make no secret of it. Iran says, we want to wipe Israel out off the face of the map. Now, while they're doing this, Israel is preparing for the attacks. They're doing a lot of things that are, you know, probably not open to the public, but they do have at least 300 nuclear weapons they can use. They're going to be forced to do something like this with nukes to fend off the large armies that are forming around them, mainly under the control of Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Russia. And when they do use their nukes, it's going to be the final button. You know, the world's going to say, it's those Jews doing it to us. You know, we ought to stop them. And that's why you're going to see the Jews really persecuted openly by the world after they defend themselves and scare the heck out of everybody. And then there's going to be that peace treaty for 7 years signed with Israel and the nations around them. But you're going to see growing hatred for all Jews without regard to which ones are really Jews and which ones are posing as Jews and doing, you know, these bad things. That's what we're seeing form right now.
Stan, if I can tap into your expertise on this. One thing I've been hearing a lot lately, and I don't even know, and I'll admit this, I don't know how to address this. The people of Israel are not the real Jews. The nation of Israel is not the nation of the real Jews. How do you respond to that when you hear something like that? Because to me, it doesn't matter. I think you said it kind of not like that, but you referenced it or suggested that. And I think God, it doesn't matter. God uses whoever, right? I mean, but I'll let you answer that.
Well, we know that God uses Israel as his prophetic timepiece. And so for that reason, having it be formed by, you know, whoever, whether Ashkenaz or Sephardi or somebody else in 1948, it fulfills prophecy. Now, to say that the nation of Israel can do no wrong, I'm not silly enough to say that. There's a community of Sephardic Jews in Israel, and they're elsewhere, but they're certainly a large community in Israel. They are the ones that know how to do the temple worship, you know, how to use the temple when it's rebuilt by whoever. And sadly, I don't think that they will be in charge of that until after, you know, the Lord comes back and they recognize him for who he is. But they've trained their own priest for the temple worship to come. going to blame a whole genre of people, a whole culture, the Jewish culture, for what a right percentage of them are doing and have done. And it's hard to argue. I mean, you know, we know that a lot of the banking situations that we looked at in the Illuminist are, you know, Ashkenazi Jews. There's no secret about that. But I don't know how we're going to get the attention of people that get hot-headed and go out and want to break off, you know, heads of stone things in the graveyards, Jewish graveyards, and, you know, paint swastikas on their homes and that kind of stuff. I don't know how we're going to reach those people and say, look, wait a minute. There are two kinds. There's the real ones and the fake ones. And, you know, this is, we're seeing something form that I didn't want to see, but I know that Jesus told us it would be coming. So I think that's why it's happening.
Okay. Stan, we got about 4 minutes left in this segment.
Are we already there? Okay, yeah.
And then the segment after. And I was just looking on your show images page. And I wanted to ask you about the weather, if we can, before I forget. I'm going to get all my questions that I can have in my head out of the way right now. I saw that Chicago, for the first time in 146 years or since they've been keeping track of weather, didn't have any snow on the ground in January or February. And we see that, we talked a little bit about this the last few weeks. We've seen this warming trend across much of the U.S., and we thought it was going away, and it went away for a few days, at least up here in the north, and now it's warm again. And then it's going to go away for a few days, and then it's supposed to really get warm again. A very mild winter. Do you put any, we know that the NOAA global warming data was manipulated, and the man-made climate change argument was manipulated by scientists in order to make it look like the temperatures were higher than they were. But any concerns with this, aside from the what we talked about last week with the possibility for the mixing up of the vegetation, you know, might get confused and start blooming early. And any other concerns we need to be worried about with this weather pattern we have?
Yeah, well, when the weather pattern changes like it has, the last 3 years it's been breaking records every year, getting hotter and hotter. And the seasons are starting, you know, like spring is starting earlier and earlier. And you're talking on the show images page there, image number 10, spring comes to come very early. If you click on that, you see a map made by the National Phenology Network, which uses USGS data and some other stuff to overlay the expected temperature difference, which, you know, will make spring. And you'll see that from, gosh, New Mexico up into Missouri, Oklahoma, Virginia, and all south to the northern part of the panhandle of Florida, all that's going to see spring come probably 2 to 3 weeks early this year, earlier than last year and the year before. And this is affecting, you know, the crops that these areas grow. We're also seeing portions of it that they show in the Sierra Madres in Nevada and running through Arizona as well. So what I'm saying here is, if this continues to do that kind of erratic behavior, drop, you know, like drought and flood and stuff alternating and hot and cold, we're getting the same thing you're getting down here, probably just a week or so separated, where we have these, you know, warm temperatures. You think it's spring, and then it's back to, you know, snowflakes like we had today and stuff, and lower temperatures. But this, if this continues like this over in California, where we have so much of our crops grown, it's going to hit the food market and hit your pocketbook, because there won't be stuff unless you import it from some country that's got, you know, crops that are working right, that the seasons are working for them. And famine is one of the things that people just don't realize. It's in existence all over the planet in various places, more concentrated, say, like in Africa or in Asia. But these kind of climate changes are going to create stress between countries for resources of food and water. So yes, I think that we're seeing climate change that we need to be concerned with. And, you know, you can't, you know, prepare for, you know, food and stuff for your family for 2 or 3 years. You can only do it for, you know, a few weeks or months, whatever your budget can afford. And after that, you're going to have to depend on the weather to let you grow stuff, even if you've got seeds and plants. And this is the challenge. One of the great curves that's going to drive us into a world government is going to be famine. and clean water. Holly addresses all this stuff in that Prophetic Perils book and details and shows maps and, you know, figures and stuff to tell you that we're in real strife already globally and people don't realize it yet.
Excuse me. Very interesting, Stan. Folks, you're listening to Stan Deo from standeo.com. Bookmark his site, his and Holly's site, and make sure you check it every day. Holly's been doing a great job keeping up with the most important stories in the news. You got the Stan's interviews, newest interviews. You got a link to the YouTube channel, as well as a photo of the day, video of the day, comic of the day, meme of the day, which I'm going to start looking at those, Stan, every day when I check your site. I'm going to do my best.
Yeah, try. It'll lighten your day, and sometimes it won't, but for the main part, yeah.
And Stan will be with us through the next segment, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Hagman Report. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
New Year from all of us at Trading Post in the Woods.
We pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman and Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people.
Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free.
Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that journey. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America.
Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our final segment with Stan Deo. His website is standeo.com. Again, bookmark his site. Check it daily. There's a lot of great information there, as well as the show images page, which Stan uses each and every time he comes on our broadcast. And there he puts together images and articles and a whole bunch of information that we get into on the show.
You know, we're 2 hours behind him, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so when I check his site at like 7 in the morning, It's already updated. So Holly, does Holly get up, Stan, like at 3, 4?
No, 4 usually. 4 o'clock.
Wow,
she does.
I mean, it's amazing. Thank you. yeah, for that.
Really?
Well, yeah. She does do a really good job at it and tries to pick the very important parts of the news. And of late, she's just been swamped with so many good stories. You know, they're, when I say good, interesting stories that we need to read to keep up with what's going on. Just so much, it's just increasing.
Yeah, it is. Stan, we got a question here, something I don't see on your show images page, and I don't think that it might be a story that you might have seen, might not have seen. I guess it's a two-part question, because I guess if we're going to talk about radiation, there has been some evidence, apparently, and allegations that there is a radiation cloud over Europe. I don't know if you've seen the information on that. I can find the article, the latest article, and send it to you. Any thoughts on where that's coming from? And then two, I've been seeing some things on Fukushima, but have you seen the story about the radiation, the cloud?
No, I missed that one. Where are they blaming it on? Do they say anything for where it's coming from?
Yeah, you know, this story is about a week old, if I remember right, and what they have been trying to do is blame Russia testing nuclear weapons for the increase in radiation. But from what I understand, there was a leak at a nuclear facility. I believe it was in France, and I could have the country wrong. And that was announced maybe a week before this radiation cloud over Europe was detected, and they never mentioned in the story about the radiation cloud, they never mentioned the nuclear power plant leak that happened in France. They immediately went to try to blame Russia. And what I found is from 6 days to a few days ago, mysterious new phenomenon, radiation cloud. And the one article was radiation spike in Europe, nuclear sniffer plane tasked with locating the source in Europe. So if you just do a search for radiation cloud in Europe, you'll get a number of articles about it. And there's some images and some videos as well. I don't think these are the only stories that we saw about this. They didn't come out and say, well, we found the source, we found how much radiation's out here. It just kind of died with this last story of them launching a nuclear sniffer plane over Europe.
And who's launching that, the French or who?
I think it was a U.S. U.N.
I think it was a U.N. U.N. initiative.
Yeah.
And apparently this cloud is obviously mobile. Okay, it's moving around. I'm not sure with the airstream or whatever, but
iodine 131 is what the levels the isotope that has been recorded all the way from Norway to Spain. It was first detected in mid January, and now the people are looking for the source. And again, this article talks about Russia possibly conducting secret nuclear weapon tests. But it does not talk about the leak in the... they do. They go on to say alarm was raised in January by the IRSN, the French Radio Protection and Nuclear Safety Institute. But yeah, there's been a cloud of iodide 131 that has been detected in Norway and all the way to Spain, the Czech Republic, Finland, Poland, Germany, France, and a number of other countries. But well, don't list the source.
Yeah. One of the things I'm trying to keep up with what you're saying there, but we're having like very slow internet here. It hit the eastern states today. The denial of service, a lot of the servers there. Did you notice that?
Yeah, from what I saw, it was an Amazon. It was an Amazon S3. I don't even know how to word it. Server, S3 server, that didn't host its own site, but it hosted millions of other sites that went bad, or there was some kind of problem that increased error rates and spurred a massive web outage. But yeah, that was directly related to Amazon. I don't think there was anything else there besides Amazon servers failing and the websites that were hosted on Amazon server failing.
Well, anyway, it certainly slowed us down here in the last hour, so it seemed like it come westward. But with the radiation cloud, I can't speak with authority on it until I research that and see. Did Did you see any maps that showed the path of that cloud? Did it go over England and down into Europe, or how did it move?
I can go back and look at the maps, but from what this article says here, it was first detected in Norway in the second week of January, and then it was detected in Finland, Poland, then the Czech Republic, then Germany, then France, and it ended with Spain.
So it's moving down Europe, a southerly direction.
Yeah, actually then, a south-south-westerly direction.
Well, we have nuclear facilities, weapons in Norway, part of NATO. Some of those are right on the Russian border. But those are weapons, not, you know, reactors. I'm not sure if that would be the source of it. But coming from the north and down like that, the prevailing winds, as I recall, are not... They circle. They from the equator, they spin around in a circle counterclockwise in the northern hemisphere there as they spread their weather patterns. But to me, that would indicate that there would have to be something way north that was releasing that radiation. That's just weird.
And the article does say that if a nuclear test were to take place, that the releases of this iodine-131 would also be expected. There would also be a number of other radioactive isotopes that would be released, as well as the iodide-131.
But are they detecting that with that sniffer plane yet?
No, they've only detected the iodine-131.
Boy, that's a mystery.
So I guess that's a, I guess that's a mystery.
All right, well, we'll keep our eye on that. We've been looking at a number of things over the years that are, you know, part of the clandestine, global government, that kind of stuff. And I found something here which doesn't answer the nuclear question, but it addresses the UFO question. I have an article here that's telling about the increase in UFO sightings globally. And
I saw that.
Did you see that in the U.S. it's now 300 times the sighting ratio than the rest of the planet on average? In the last 10 years, gosh, is it 10, is 20, 30, last 30 years, the increase in UFO sightings has just grown exponentially. And I thought part of that would be due to, you know, cell phones and people got it on them so they can take a picture. But that's only if they're recording a picture. People can see it whether they got a cell phone or not. And I expect to see more of them happening, but why do we see 300 times more than the global average being cited and reported here in the United States? Is it because we're on the lookout more than the rest of the people? Social media posting this, and so we get interested. There's something just driving this, and I'm wondering if it's the beginning of driving us to the official disclosure type thing. We know it's got to come soon because the world is shaping up to where it needs to have this, spacemen, messiahs, and that kind of stuff. And along that line, there's an article there, figure 13 or cell 13 on my show images page. It says U.S. Navy spies learn secret of Nazi anti-gravity spacecraft. And it's on a site called exopolitics.org, which is politics of extraterrestrials or other worlds and this altogether. It's run primarily by Dr. Michael Sala. And I ran across these articles and more on his site. I think it's a good site to go have a look at because he does document a lot of this stuff very well. And one thing I found particularly interesting, and it's in image 14 on my show images page, is he put an article out on his site, which you can get by clicking on that picture of the flying saucer. It says, Secret Australian Anti-Gravity Program Linked to 1966 Flying Saucer Landing, just in the bay outside of Melbourne in Australia. And the reason I found this quite interesting, put a link to it, is he supports what I've been talking about, for years, and talking about me working down there at Fisherman's Bend, which Fisherman's Bend is in that bay area that you're seeing there. I'm just seeing if I can pull the article up here. Right, it won't let us have it. We'll get it fixed later, but it tells that he supports all of the same things I claimed in the Cosmic Conspiracy. He puts point after point in why what I said is correct, and they got proof of it now. So for all these years where I had so many people, take whatever this guy is now saying. No, he's not. Look at this. Here's the proof. So get on to exopolitics anyway and .org and put in there, you know, search for Deo and Cosby Conspiracy and see the article this guy wrote, because it is encouraging to finally have some of these people that are documenting this, you know, give me the credit and prove that what I was telling people is correct. I mean, he even checked into, like, Dr. James R. Maxfield's letter in my book and all that kind of stuff. He did his homework. And I'm just so pleased. But anyway, exopolitics, get on there and look at that. There's another article that I haven't got up on that site about NASA about to launch a solar satellite to go very close to the sun. Did you see that guy, that news today?
Yeah. It's supposed to go about 400,000 yep. miles close or away from the sun's surface.
Miles. Four million miles. Okay. Any closer, I think it'd cook it.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I think it's 0.25 AU or something like that. And it's supposed to help explore the EMP threat and the coronal mass ejection threat that the sun poses to the Earth.
Yes, and it's rather interesting, that article. I mean, why are they putting that money into research like that? Unless they're thinking maybe the sun is going to do something atypical. It's going to do something unusual we haven't seen before in our lifetime. They're definitely thinking ahead, you know, and saying we need to keep an eye on it. And one of the weird things about the sun, and they tell you that in the article, is that the atmosphere, the photosphere of the sun, or it's, you know, the corona photosphere out there, they are 350 times hotter than the surface of the Earth, of the sun underneath that. Now, you know, why is that? Because it should be hotter and closer to the core of the sun, but it's 350 times hotter when you get outside the normal surface of the sun into the solar atmosphere. There are various layers to it, but basically into the coronal atmosphere that throws off all these flares and, you know, the stuff we'd see in an EMP. Anyway, I just think it's rather interesting that at this point they're spending money to put a satellite up there to monitor that kind of stuff. It's almost like they know what's going to be happening in the Revelation of John, where he talks about the sun going dark and then the light of the sun being seven times as bright, you know, during the periods in the Revelation when they're breaking the seals. So I think this is an important issue to watch, is what they're monitoring on the sun. And they wouldn't do it unless they thought something is potentially going to cause us harm, you know, planet-wide, more than just solar flares. I haven't figured out why the outer atmosphere of the sun is so much hotter than inside it. It must be some sort of a reaction that occurs in that layer of the sun, but you'd think if it's 350 times hotter than the layer beneath it, why doesn't it heat up that layer? You see what I'm saying? There's something separating the surface of the sun from that coronal, you know, gaseous atmosphere, and not letting the heat go back into the sun. It's just weird.
That is weird.
It harkens back to what you said about the Book of Revelation.
And, yeah. And Stan, if we can, I want to back to the UFO piece, if we can, because I just got to look at this map again for the second time this week. Or in the last few weeks. Is there anything to this that the U.S., Canada, Mexico, Australia, Great Britain, Portugal, Norway, Finland, and Sweden, or not Sweden, Norway and Finland, and those are the countries that are in red, meaning there's plus 25 UFO sightings per 10 million people. Plus 25 is the highest the chart goes to, and then there's a global median in the middle, and then the plus 25s in red and the lower counts on in blue. And you see all these countries from Russia, China, India, I mean, Saudi Arabia, half of Africa, South America, all in blue. The only places that are in red are North America, Australia, and then you have Great Britain, Portugal, and Norway and such up above that. Is there any rhythm to this?
Say again?
Is there any... I mean, it looks like it's just the most Western cultures seem to be having the most UFO sightings. Would there be any reason for that?
Well, I've looked at that too, and I've noticed that huge anomaly that we're the, you know, the West. testing of our own flying saucers at that time, you know, back in the 70s, late 60s and 70, early 70s. As far as Portugal, that one is a mystery to me. I don't know why that's involved in the increased sightings, but certainly Australia, Great Britain, the United States, well, and Canada as well, would be more developed technologically. People would be more traveling and you know, without permit passes and that kind of stuff like you have in many of the other countries, you know, to cross borders and things. So people would be camping and going out perhaps more in these countries than they would in the other countries, like, you know, in Russia and Africa and things like that, because they're primarily trying to survive every day and get enough to eat versus going out looking up in the sky and saying, oh, look, there's another light. So maybe that's part of the factor that drives this, but it is unusual. Why are we seeing all these things? And I don't know what the satellites are recording over, say, like Saudi Arabia and the Middle East. Are we seeing from orbit more UFOs, but just not being reported to the public? So it's a statistic that's hard to really understand, if you get my drift. You know, it's weird.
It is weird, and I just can't help but wonder if it's our society, or if there is something going on in the sky. And another image I looked on here was the type of sightings that we're seeing. You used to have, I think they categorized it into four or five different types, like the saucer, the cigar, a light. And back in the beginning, where the chart starts in the 1910 to 1920, 1930, the most noticed UFO sighting was a saucer, followed by cigar, followed by a sphere, followed by light. Now, the highest sighted UFO is the light. And I don't know if, you know, we've seen orbs and weird things moving throughout the sky, but then you have to wonder, also, you know, with drones and, I don't know. I always wonder, you know, what goes through people's minds. And I've seen many strange things in the sky that I would say are UFOs over my time looking out there. But then there's things that you can explain, like satellites and, you know, different things. So I don't, it just makes me wonder if it's not our imagination sometimes. But then why is, you know, 3/4 of the Earth having, like, basically no sightings, or, you know, lower than usual sightings? Just kind of curious, I guess. And then countries right next to each other. You have countries, you know, with hundreds of miles of bordering each other. One country's red, the other one's completely, you know, blue. Meaning that, you know, one country on the same land, basically, is seeing all these UFO sightings. And then when it gets to Russia, whether it's reported or not, I don't know.
And that's not to, and by the way, that is not cutting off statistical... That's not an artifact of statistical
right,
assembly.
Right.
Okay, so
it's something much more coordinated, I would say.
Well, you know, I think I agree with what you're saying there, Doug, though, that and Joe, both of you, that the political structures, the societal pressures, are mores, whatever, between these countries over the same piece of land, but there's a border between this country and that one. One sees and reports a lot, and the other sees nothing. Now, we know that the Russian-controlled countries, that they people there probably won't report these things as readily as they will here in the free world, because they'd be investigated or, you know, brought in for questioning, that kind of stuff. So there might be a fear factor that holds down the reporting there. I know that Russia was involved, you know, with the Teller's group that I work for. Russia was involved, Norway, England, United States, Canada, New Zealand, in the deals that were made with the off-worlders, the fallen ones, to build, you know, these bases for them underground. And so there was information sharing that the Russians were, you know, partially involved in, even though they weren't trusted completely by the Teller's group, because they held Dr. Andrei Sakharov in kind of like house arrest in the country, so he couldn't even go get his Nobel Prize because he was involved with Teller in the dealing with these the fallen ones, the aliens, they call them, and the counterculture. But so when you look at that, the countries that are seeing the most of them may getting more reports because of the freedom to make these reports without repercussions from neighbors or government or whatever. The other side of it, or the other part of it, might be that because the Teller group of countries, which were primarily the Western nations, were developing these technologies and were using them, when we were kicked out of these bases that we shared with the fallen ones, we may have continued, I'm sure we continued to a degree, to develop these technologies and make very fast aircraft and, sub-oceanic, submarine-type craft as well. And so our elite of the globalists use these devices to fly around and do things however they organize, political structures and, trade agreements, whatever. So we might be seeing more of them because our guys over in the Western side are using them more for very quick solution of problems where these fast flying saucers would be useful. And again, since, what was it, 1970s, I think, late 70s, early 80s, we started seeing these triangle craft, the Aurora-type craft, they call them. That could very well have been some of our own development. And so, shape, size, all these things change. I think the next one on the docket to be kind of officially photographed and released is going to be the supermassive craft in the air. The Phoenix Lights type craft, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That will impress everybody because people could say, oh, it's an Air Force, an Army, or, a Russian or British test craft. Okay, could well be, a little flying craft of, 30, 40, 50 feet, 200 feet even. But when you start talking in half-mile to mile diameter-sized crafts, they're not from around here, or at least people think that. And I think this will be the icing on the cake that comes very shortly when they do make the disclosure of the alien presence, that this will convince all the Earth engineers that would complain and physicists that would complain that, it's just a test craft. No, we're not testing anything a mile wide. That's not from around here, and that'll be the final proof that they need.
Stan, while we're talking about this, have you heard anything about Antarctica lately?
Bits and pieces, mainly that there's something going on down there that has attracted the attention of, former astronauts, of, Secretary of State, former Secretary of State, prime ministers going down to Antarctica.
Gingrich was one of the last people to go down there. I think I saw that the end of last week. Newt Gingrich was going down there,
mm-hmm.
and Buzz Aldrin was down there before he died. John Kerry was down there, former yeah. Secretary of State. But I guess I was referring to something... I read something. There was no information to back it up, but possible evacuation from a certain area down there. I don't know if it was due to cracking ice or what. I don't even know if it was true, actually. I kind of wanted to get your take to see if you heard anything like that.
Well, I've seen the cracking ice photos and stuff. There's going to be another chunk of ice, a big berg break off. They've started moving one of the Antarctic bases to a safe place and evacuated because they know within a year or so that's going to crack off and separate from the main Antarctic ice cap. It's also going to release pressure that was holding back a number of other surface ice caps on the Antarctic mass, which will drop into the ocean following that one. So that would be of interest. But I don't understand, it's not like a favorite vacation spot for these elitists that are going down there. They're going down there at risk into an uncomfortable environment. Why? There's something bigger than a calving iceberg, and a base having to be moved. There's something bigger going on there. I know that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the insight. I mean, you can't get any good information of what's going on down there.
There are no airline hubs down in Antarctica.
It's
a destination.
Us regular
and the military
folks,
guys
there.
Don't give frequent flyer points either. So,
yeah, and you as a citizen, you can go down there, but you will be taken to only certain locations. And I mean, it's not like people can decide, oh, I want to go to Antarctica and I'm going to go here, 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 and here. No, if you're allowed to go to Antarctica, you'll be told where you can and can't go.
That in itself doesn't tell you that the globalists, do have control of that down keep looking. I mean, I don't know what we're going to find out.
Yeah, got to just keep digging in there and seeing what we can find. But again, there is a ring of silence around Antarctica and those who go there. And you just don't, aside from the comings and goings of certain people, you do not hear anything about what's going on down there.
One rumor I did get from somebody emailed me about was about they found a frozen city under the ice, an ancient city, you know, building streets and that kind of stuff, pyramid. I don't know. This is one of those kind of things that could be, you know, disinformation put out there or just somebody having fun with the public, but there's something under the ice there. It was in a zone that was a temperate zone. There were trees and there were lakes and rivers before the ice settled on it, and that was at the time of the Great Flood when the surface of the planet, the mantle, shifted and, you know, then froze whatever is on that continent. I'd be interested to see what's there.
Yes, it would. Stan, you've taken us till the end of the episode. Once again, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and you and Holly for your fantastic work. Standeo.com is the website. Make sure you bookmark it. You can get all your information and news right there from standeo.com very early in the morning. Thanks to Holly.
You can indeed with your first cup of coffee. She's got it there waiting for you.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Stan, again, and until next week, stay safe, God bless, and have a great night, and thank Holly for us.
I will do. Good night, boys.
Thanks, bro. Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for us tonight. Until tomorrow, have a great evening.